My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another edition of our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz. Per usual, it's the All-Star Break edition of Warriors Weekly, Steiny. And let's just dive right into the Warriors are 29-29, shocker. 14th time they've been exactly 500 this season. They've got 12 games to go at home, 12 games to go on the road, 24 total. They're sitting, what, ninth in the Western Conference, and they're still looking to try and get on the run that they haven't been able to get on this season.
Yeah, JD, it's funny because this week during the shows, we got to like Wednesday or Thursday, and Guru and I were talking to each other saying, we got to figure something out because every conversation is now the same. Can they do it or can't they do it? And if you think they can do it, it's because you're just relying on the past. This year's team has not shown itself to be a championship team. So I found that I'm just going in circles saying, well, you know, it's not last year anymore. This is a different year. It's a different team. They're not as good on the road. They didn't start 41-13 like last year. So to me, it really is fascinating because as much as I want to believe this thing's over, I mean, they're 500. You must give them the champions respect they deserve. And that means you can't count them out all the way. You know what I mean? Like nobody thinks Minnesota is going to win it. And Minnesota's got a better record than the Warriors. Well, why doesn't anybody think Minnesota is not going to win it? Well, because they don't have championship pedigree. So it's just going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. I'm just leaning that they're not going to be able to pull this off because it's going to be too hard.
Well, and I think the trade deadline has changed some of this because, you know, the big part of the conversation throughout the season has been, well, the West is mediocre. There's no dominant team in the West. You know, Denver has been the best team to this point this season, but it's just so open that anybody can win it in general. And if anybody can win it in general, then why not the Warriors with a bunch of players who have won four championships and are the defending champion? I do think that the Suns going and getting Kevin Durant at the deadline changes things. I do think that even Dallas going and getting Kyrie Irving at the deadline changes things, although they're 2-3 since they picked him up, and those two together when they've played haven't won a game yet. Right. And so they've got some things clearly that they have to figure out. But I do think the Durant deal with the Suns, even though they're only a couple of games better than the Warriors right now and still sitting in fifth, you know, that to me is the team now that is probably the favorite in the West if they're fully healthy, even over Denver, who's been the best team all year long.
Yeah, and it looks like the Clippers are, you know, I was looking at the Clippers and the Suns rosters, and I know the rosters, the rotation gets pared down in the playoffs, but I mean, those Phoenix and the Clippers have players. I mean, they have players on those teams, and again, you know, I'm just looking at Phoenix, for example, and I'm like, well, Phoenix is better than the Warriors to me, but again. You just come back. Well, nobody thought they were going to do it last year. So the thing that would worry me if I were a Warrior fan is we're sitting 9 right now at 500, but we know we're going to play the next, whatever, 4 to 6 games, maybe more, maybe less. We don't really have a sense without Steph Curry. So if they play, let's say, they have the 6 games and 9 days after the break. If let's say he misses those 6 games and then returns, I mean, they got to go 3-3 in those games, you know, 2-4 at worst. Because what I think is going to happen is, especially with the Clippers and the Suns are going to separate themselves. Like, you know, whatever. I don't know how many games, but, you know, the Suns to me are going to go 15-8 going home, you know, on the way in. Well, if they go 15-8, the Warriors aren't catching the Suns. And if the Clippers finish, you know, 16-9, the Warriors aren't going to catch the Clippers either. So now you start looking at the numbers, and I'm kind of with you on the play. And like, they got to get to 6. That's what I think they've got to do. And it's just going to be hard. And let's just quick go to Curry for a sec. Like, what are your tea leaves reading with the Curry injury?
I think he's going to be out those first 6 games minimum, and it's probably going to be more. When you look at the fact that, you know, every time, and he finally talked about it before one of the games here, I think the final game before the break that the Warriors played at home against Washington, and the sense I got was that they still don't really have a firm grasp on the timeline. In essence, they're waiting for the day in which they'll determine the timeline. And right. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I know a lot of people are holding their breath because the next update is on the Thursday in which the Warriors play their first game after the All-Star break on the 23rd. But to me, that could be the day where the Warriors drop the email in everybody's box. Yes, Steph will be reevaluated again in 2 weeks. And at that point, you're going, oh my God, like not only is it these next 6 games, but it's 4 more. And at that point, you know, there isn't a lot of season left. It's interesting. And I heard Bob Myers with you and Goo, and I listened to Steve Kerr when he was on with Damon and Ratto. And, you know, I'm interested to get your thoughts, but to me, the tone as it related to Curry from both Bob Myers and Steve Kerr was one of, we're confident he's going to come back. We don't really have any idea when he's going to come back. And I even got the sense from Bob, like a good chunk of the remaining regular season he might miss, but still be able to come back with a couple of games to go before the playoffs. That was a little mini tell, I thought, without reading too much into it.
Yeah. And he also said something like, well, you know what? Not shame on me for getting ahead of myself. Like, we're going to make the playoffs, which tells me that maybe, you know, if Steph Curry was healthy, I think we'd all say, you know, they're going to find a way to get to 6.
Well, how about this? Because this is, and I'm not to veer off totally, but I looking at some numbers as we get to the break, as you typically do. One of the things that to me stood out is probably the most disappointing aspect of this team. And it's not offense or defense. It's just, you know, I tend to go with, they're 20-18 without or with Curry. They're 9-11 without Curry, which I think is great, although it could be better. But 9-11 without Curry in 20 games is good. That's more than acceptable. They're 20-18 with Curry. That to me is the, like, you look at that and you're thinking, well, wait a minute, that you're 20-18 with Curry, that needs to be a lot better. And if it was, they actually would be in a position where they could coast and withstand a little bit and maybe even still get the top 4. That to me has been, when we do the autopsy of the season, if it doesn't work out, among the most disappointing things.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And you know, just kind of piggybacking off some numbers there, you know, I saw that, you know, here we are 60 games in almost. And, you know, if you want to hang your hat on that, on one thing, it's that five-man unit is still the best five-man unit plus minus in the NBA that's played more than 150 minutes. The Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, and Looney. But even though that's the best lineup, they're still only 13 and 11 in those games. So, and the reality is they don't finish with that lineup most of the time. So I did the math on this too. So they've been able to use that lineup so far only 11% of the time. All right. Because that lineup's out. You can't use that lineup right now with Curry out.
Right.
Those games get taken off. Okay. What about in the games where they do play? They play about 25% of the time together, even when they're all healthy. So, you know, are they going to have to play that unit 40% of the time together? And then can they, if they do that, you know, can they stay fresh and can they, you know, maximize more minutes, or is there diminishing return? So I just look at this team right now and they're just, it feels like they have so many questions and they need six things to come together. And one of them better be Gary Payton II playing at some point, but I don't know about that either.
Yeah, I still find it hard to believe that the Warriors accepted that trade with the failed physical designation, and that so many people seemingly think it was just a good idea. It was just the right thing to do to bring Gary Payton back in the fold for Wiseman. And to me, it's less about Wiseman than it is about the player you're getting back. If you told me you were going to have a healthy Gary Payton for the rest of this year and for the next 2 years after this, I'd say, you know what, it's not a perfect scenario. I think you would have envisioned you could have gotten more for Wiseman, but at least you're getting a useful player and you know what you're getting. And he does address, in part, the biggest single problem this team's had in terms of they've been terrible defensively and they've been terrible defensively on the ball. So there you go. Point of attack defense, Gary Payton II can help. The concern that I would have with this with taking him back is, to me, it feels like he's a month away from where they're going to say on let's say March 13th, I'm going to give you the Curry thing. Hey, you know what? He'll be reevaluated when the regular season is over. And then it also wouldn't surprise me if he was somebody that, and this I think has been under discussed. What if Payton can't play at all this year and then over the next 2 years plays like 50 or 60 games combined in the next 2 years? I mean, I think, look, everybody loves Gary Payton II and everything he brought to the table. Would it surprise you if he was out of the league before this contract was up, meaning the rest of this year and then two more years? That wouldn't surprise me at all. He's 30. He's clearly had recurring injury issues. And there's a part of me that wonders – like, you gave up James freaking Wiseman for a guy. Like, I feel like the name value of GP2 in this deal has assuaged the Warriors from just being roasted for making the deal that they made. And yet you kind of project ahead and you go, well, you know, if they play this team in the first round and Peyton's healthy, well, he could really help them. Then what? So it's been a tough one for me to kind of parse through, but on the surface, it just separating again all of the intangibles of the best case scenario. Because I think a lot of what you're talking about with where people, you know, the circular discussion about the Warriors, right? People tend to go to the best case scenario because the best case scenario just played out. Well, everybody's so focused on the best case scenario with Gary Payton II, where to me, if this was any other player, you'd be like, how can you even trust this dude to play?
Right, right.
No, ever. You're,
and yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's it's funny when I watch the Portland game, and Peyton was on the Blazers, I'm not saying I'm a genius. Something didn't seem right. I couldn't put my finger on it. But to me, he didn't look exactly like he looked last year. And he's been maybe banged up a little. He's just getting back. But
well, the Warriors got him in their building and said, dude, you got an injury that you shouldn't be playing with for the next 2 months.
Exactly.
But even that in and of itself, Steiny, they accepted the deal. So for all this conversation about, you know, did Portland withhold? And maybe Portland did. And if Portland withheld, they should be punished for that. But the Warriors accepted an injured player in return. Like that, to me, at the moment you do it, it's not like it's on you. So if Gary Payton II is a failure because he's unhealthy, that's on Bob Myers. That's on Joe Lacob. That's on this front office, because they had every opportunity to not do that deal. And I'm going to say it. I think they should have not done the deal. And maybe they were overly concerned about bringing Wiseman back in the locker room. To me, that's silly at that point. Everybody knew he didn't fit, and they were probably going to be getting rid of him at some point. You could have brought him back and sat him on the bench and traded him in the summer for another bench player. You traded him for an eighth or a ninth man. You could trade him for another eighth or a ninth man in June or July. So I don't want to hear about how awkward and uncomfortable it would be, as if that is some semblance of a deal breaker as to why you had to make the move now.
Yeah, that was not a concern of mine. Wiseman's going to have to come back. That's happened before with players, and you just deal with it, especially a young guy like that. He's not going to ruin a locker room. But it is telling that they did continue with the deal. And that does tell you a little bit to me about the way they felt about Wiseman.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Like, they didn't have to trade him. They could have given him another year. And the fact that they make a trade for Gary Payton II as a role player, then he's hurt, then they're still going to make the trade. I mean, there's only one way to take that to me, and that is they were done with Wiseman. Like, done.
Yeah. And because I think there's also a little bit of desperation involved in getting a player that they believe can fit as the best version of himself or the healthiest version of himself. Yeah. To me, it was they don't, in a way, Peyton to them had more value because he knows their system and because the other players like him in a way that they didn't like Wiseman, yeah. frankly.
Right. I mean, he's a player that they trusted, that they trust, the core. The core trusts him, and obviously Lacob and Myers trust him, and they're not that way with Wiseman. But, it's funny, you talk about best case and worst case, and everybody's, they can get this thing back. But, like, I look at this team, I think they're in this is it. The rubber's hitting the road right now, and what happens in the next 2 months, I mean – that's going to determine where this franchise goes. I mean, if they miss the playoffs entirely, like it's over, right? Then it's over. Like you can't bring back the same team if you don't make the playoffs this year, can you? And then what does Draymond do? Obviously, is a question. But what happens if they win a round and then lose in the conference semifinals? Then what are you going to bring the same team back? Can you, obviously if they get to the Western Conference Finals or something and lose in seven games or, then maybe you can start, okay, maybe just a tinker. But again, JD, this is where they're 29-29. And if they end up 43-39 and they lose, they play in, they make it, they lose in the first round, it's like, then what are you going to do?
It's tough. And
because one of the reasons they're 29-29 is because – whatever it is, you want to call it a hangover. To me, it's the regular season's just getting more and more and more and more taxing for the older guys.
Well,
it's just too hard. It's too long for them to stay motivated.
Well, and the way to offset that is by having a deeper roster.
Exactly.
And you look at the Clippers, and I don't know how much Eric Gordon or Mason Plumlee or any of those guys, Bones Highland, are going to really play in playoff series. But the one thing they do is they allow the Clippers to win some games down the stretch here if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are taking a night off, which they take a lot of nights off. That's just part of their plan. And why do the Clippers basically, if they had the same record as the Warriors all year? Well, it's because of that. And so now they're better at being able to win more games in the regular season. Like you almost, in a sense, have to have two teams. And I think that's where the Warriors, as they built this team, screwed up in a sense or miscalculated. I think they thought they had enough talent with the young guys to where the young guys could be good enough regular season players to play and fill some of the void of the veterans and still win. And they didn't. And so I think that's where, how do you get better if you end this season a way you don't want to? It kind of goes back to 2 years ago where we all talked over and over and over and over about the Warriors having to go get a star. They got to go get a star. They got to trade Devery for a star. And I remember we had this conversation a lot. I didn't think they had to get a star. I thought they had to get better sixth, seventh, and eighth players. And they did that last year. They got Otto Porter and Peyton turned into something. It was better than even I could have imagined the way that it worked out. And Jordan Poole was legitimate. And so you look up at the end of the year and they were a lot deeper. This team just isn't as deep in terms of playables. And so, I think it kind of leads back to the trade deadline for me, because I'm going to just hit you with this. It's the OG Anunoby deal. And look, we don't know what the deal was. But I got to be honest with you. I would have looked at Kuminga for Anunoby. And I know it's not just Kuminga. Maybe it was Kuminga and three picks or whatever the heck Toronto wanted. And I know some of the picks are tied up with another deal. But OG Anunoby's 25 and a great defender now and fits this team. Like he just fits perfectly. And I feel like the Warriors, maybe they're overvaluing what they think Kuminga eventually will be in the same vein that they overvalued what they thought Wiseman, they thought he could be. And then they got to the end of the line with Wiseman and had to finally tap out and admit the fact that, all right, he's not going to be that guy. At least he's not going to be that guy for us. But I feel like in hanging on to Kuminga, in a sense, you're almost hanging on to that dream that you've got that future star that in reality you might not have.
Right, right. And you know, that's the other thing. We talk about the trade deadline, and this is, and you brought this up, I think, last week or the week before, that, you know, at stood pat, you know, maybe this year kind of fizzles. Well, I think there's there is an emotional component to this, or psychological component, that doesn't work in the Warriors' favor. I'm sorry. I mean, you see Phoenix get Kevin Durant. You see Dallas get Kyrie. Denver's playing well. The Clippers look pretty good. It's like, and you didn't do anything. Like, you have the same team right now and will have the same team. Like, you're getting no boost from Gary Payton the second.
Right. None. That's why I would have nixed the deal, because you're not getting that. Like, that was a big part of it, was you're going to,
right,
you're getting, like, that juice.
I mean, honestly, you know, Gary Payton II's a role player by the same, but by the same token, I'm looking at Payton and I'm like, you know what though? He could be it could be big because Payton's the kind of guy, you know, you put him on the ball and he kind of sets a tone for the whole defense.
For sure.
Like, and so I started to think, well, what if Payton is Payton like last year, where he can really create a couple steals and he's really good defensively? You know what? That could permeate and they could become a better deep. Like, I'll give you that. Okay. I'm open to that.
But he's got to be healthy.
Yeah. But now they don't even have that.
Right.
So, I wonder if there is.
And now you got to get there. You got to get there now, and he's got to be healthy. So it's two things that are like you weren't even thinking about as possibilities a week ago.
Exactly. And that's where I think other teams will come out of the break with momentum, and the Warriors are going to have to somehow create it without Steph Curry. I think they're in a dicey spot. I really do. And I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that they could miss the playoffs.
I think it is possible. I think I would lean they probably get into the play-in tournament. I don't think
sure.
I just don't think they're going to miss the play-in tournament. And then we're talking about, you know, are you going to be, you know, in a one-off against Minnesota, who's going to win in a one-off? You know, what if they got to play Oklahoma City and Minnesota to get in? You know, right. I mean, and it's like, you know, they'll probably be able to do that if they need to. You know, what if they had to play Utah? And in the regular season, they haven't been able to beat these teams consistently. And they've had leads in some of these games and haven't been able to beat them consistently. The other part, and I think that's where the Warriors are sort of hanging on to the hope, is that, you know, they're reading that like we're reading that, and know that there may not be a matchup that's insurmountable for them. And then once they get in, you know, they're an immediate threat to everybody. I mean, could you imagine if, and I'll just use them as an example, you imagine if the Warriors, it's dicey, they're down, whatever, they figure out a way somehow to get in the tournament, and all of a sudden it's, oh yeah, the Warriors are the 7 and they're playing Memphis in the first round, or the Warriors are the 8 and they're playing Denver, who wins 60 games this year. And that's your reward with, you know, this is your best shot to go to a finals and you're playing the war. Like,
right.
That would be really dicey for the opponent.
Yes. But it's just one opponent that's going to have that.
True.
I mean, yeah. And that's the part that I also think some people are underestimating for them, they're going to probably have to, like, go, you know, Denver, Memphis, Clippers, Denver, Phoenix, you know, Clipper. Like, they're going to have to beat 3 good teams. You know what I mean? And like, okay, if they get Denver in the first round and they pull an upset, okay, well, they're going to have to play better the next round, probably.
Right.
And that's the other thing that I think that's happened. Like, this is the other thing that's come into focus for me. Going back to back is really hard. Like, it's really hard. And they're trying to go back to back at the end of this dynasty, which I just don't think we've put in the blender, in the concoction, into the equation, that they played into June last year, and they're to win it, they're gonna have to do it again. And like, just think back to the old teams that, you know, the whatever, Lakers, Celtics. It was like, that was always a big talking point. Well, it's really hard to do it again because you played in June the year before. And now, so like everything's kind of working against them. They're going to have to, like, there's so many things they have to buck. That, like, I've used this. There's a macro and a micro. To me, the macro is they're going to try to win their fifth title in 9 years with the exact same three-man core, essentially. Like, so you go back into history and you look at that. That does not happen very often.
No.
And I don't want to go through it. I made my sure. Life. Okay, so that's the macro. The micro is they're 29 and 29. No team's ever won the title with less than 44 wins. You know, they're missing Curry. Like, it to win a title this year would be maybe one of the most unique things that's ever happened in history if they were to do it. And then on top of it, it would be like the exclamation point on the dynasty. It's like, that's just, it's just too hard. Like, it feels too hard sometimes.
You'd think, and again, health is part of it. I think if they are healthy at the beginning of the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of comparisons to last year. Oh, they're healthy now at the right time. Again, last year's team to me was a lot better than this year's team. We can go through all the different ways. We don't have to. Why? I think the only thing that there's two things that save the Warriors this year where they can make a run. One is the health. The other is the path. And because I think, you know, you never know how it's going to shake out. And it, you know, we're starting to see some teams separate. But, you know, if they could beat Memphis and then, you know, who knows, maybe something screwy happens. They're playing a Sacramento in the second round. And then all of a sudden they're in a conference finals and they're playing Dallas. Or so it just, you know, you just, you know. You can't completely rule it out, but I think if it does happen, it's going to be because some screwy stuff happened independent of them being healthy. And that means, oh, wow, Gary Payton II actually could come back in April and played the whole playoffs. And Steph stayed healthy the whole playoffs. And everybody, you know, guys that had bad regular seasons played well, you know, in the playoffs kind of unexpectedly. Right. So quick final thought on that. We'll tie it off.
Well, when we're talking about, you know, the Warriors, you know, there's a segment of the fans that are like, still like, relax. Once everything's like, you guys all said this last year, you guys all said this. Okay.
Totally different.
It's fair. And it is totally different. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I spent a lot of yesterday's show trying to tell people that if they do pull this off, it's going to be as remarkable an achievement as you look back in history. It's right. Going to be, it's going to be Bulls. It's going to be late, you know, and like, do you guys comprehend how hard that is to do? Like, I'll be the first. If you pull this off, like, it's just an unbelievable achievement. And I just think people are kind of downplaying how hard it's going to be.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
It would be unreal.
How hard it is right now because they're 29-29.
It would be an exclamation point on top of exclamation points. There's no doubt about it. Steiny, good stuff. We'll reconvene here next week after the Warriors get a game in, and it's going to be a fun right. ride. So for Steiny, right. I'm JD, 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
For a tax
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.